It's kind of funny that people still read books.
Always trust the process.
Welcome to another episode of Trust the Process, a podcast produced by the Martin Trust Center for MIT Entrepreneurship. My name is Chris, and I'm the host around here. Today, I'm joined by the Trust Center's Managing Director, Bill Aulette.
Frameworks without tactics don't get you to where you really need to go.
And the center's Executive Director, Paul Cheek.
These systematic approaches, they are curated.
Both men recently released books under the Disciplined Entrepreneurship banner with Wiley Publishing. Bill wrote a 10-year update on his well-known book, Disciplined Entrepreneurship, and Paul wrote Startup Tactics, a companion book which gives a step-by-step guide to the earliest stages of the startup journey.
I think entrepreneurship just hasn't been taken that seriously as a field of study and at universities. And now they're jumping into it, but they don't have the history, the body of knowledge there. Not that there hasn't been a significant amount of work done, but it's not enough. And so as we look at this, I think this week is kind of a seminal point for taking entrepreneurship education to a whole new level. We've talked about building a full stack of entrepreneurship education. We've been working on this for years. And today we deliver on that promise. This is really raising the bar. And, you know, there was theory, and like our colleague Scott Stern, you know, does theory of entrepreneurship. You've seen Howard Stevenson at Harvard. You know, you've seen, you know, Tom Eisenman, you know, some other people doing theory of entrepreneurship, but this is the practice of entrepreneurship that we've been working on. But even that's not enough. That's not the full stack. But, you know, just for a second on the practice, I had no idea 10 years ago that this book, Disciplined Entrepreneurship, which was really just a reader for the class, would be so popular. I mean, it's crazy. You know, I think there's over 100, there's certainly hundreds of universities, if not thousands now, that teach it. And every day I get, you know, messages, emails from people saying it's, you know, this is the go-to book for it. And I'm kind of embarrassed a little bit because I didn't invent this stuff. I'm not, the people are like, oh, it's like I just stole, laterally innovated what worked that I found elsewhere. And I think that's the key thing. We need to make entrepreneurship rigorous by making it evidence-based, and we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
We need to make it accessible and that people can get to it. But we also need to make it open sourced. We need to make it that it's not just we came up with an idea and here's a book on one new idea. We have to build a toolkit. And to me, that's the essence of what we're doing. And so that's what the framework of the 24 steps was. It wasn't things that we invented. It was just kind of like pulling it together and putting it in a way that people could understand it in an accessible manner, but that was also rigorous. But as we went through that, I found that I'd left so much out. And that's what this new book is about. You know, as someone said, well, how long did it take you to write this new book? And it's 10 years.
10 years, yeah. There's so many little versions of it that have come out in the past 10 years, but you see a big software release. This is another huge release 10 years later that kind of pulls all that in, pulls it together.
Yeah, but you don't have software releases every 10 years.
Yeah, not in a book.
So, I think that so many people have contributed to it. It's been joy teaching with you, but all these other people around the world, just with QUT today, Queensland University of Technology, colleagues at UMass Lowell, you know, McGill University, you know, Northwestern. I could go on and on and on, and you could too. But I think that has made this book better. But that's only part one of the story. Part two of the story is, you know, frameworks without tactics don't get you to where you really need to go. Yes, it's a dramatic improvement. And I think today, that full stack now takes theory to practice and now down to tactics. And that's what we saw in the class. And you started a new class on that. And maybe you want to talk about that and the results of that. What's the hole that startup tactics is filling?
Yeah, well, that's one of the interesting things is, you know, over the course of the past 5-6 years, I've seen so many entrepreneurs come through here with amazing business plans. They've got the best plans to put it out in the world, rigorous plans, plans that give them better odds of success than really any other entrepreneur going after it. And, you know, part of that's the people, part of that's what they've learned and the plans that they've put together with the 24 steps. But what I heard over and over and over again in office hours, one-on-one advisory meetings, was people would come in and say, okay, so how do we do this? What do we do? You know, they've got this wonderful strategy to bring this new solution, this new innovation to market. The question becomes, how do we go market this to customers? How do we get our first customers? How do we build the first version of the product? What are our engineering considerations? How do we, you know, raise this first round of funding? All these questions kept coming up over and over again. And we ran a handful of workshops, you know, through Delta V or just with startups and entrepreneurs in the ecosystem. And when people kept coming back asking for those over and over again, you and I chatted about it. I still remember that phone call. We had a phone call and the word tactics came up. It was, you know, these are the things that people need to be able to take what they've planned out and put it into the world, put it into action. And that's when we started that class, Venture Creation Tactics. As it was quite the experiment one semester. And we got a bunch of students in there, and the class was so far from perfect, but it kind of got the ball rolling in what we needed to do to get to the next level of this full stack. And that class, now we've run it 5-6 semesters to see what are the kind of systematic approaches that we can empower entrepreneurs with to say, I've got this plan, I'm going to put it out into the world, and we're going to go get our first customers, we're going to go build our first product, we're going to raise our first round of funding, and we're going to bring on our first team members, we're going to go and we're going to hire some people. And seeing that over and over again has just been exhilarating. It's so exciting to see when people get the excitement of, hey, this thing's working, it's actually out in the world. That has been super rewarding. I think the idea now of taking kind of some of the things that we've experimented with, and you even say this in the preface, you know, this is not V1. Now we're taking this and we're putting this out to the world, open sourcing it, right? Saying, here, to all the educators around the world, go download every piece of educator material we have. To all the entrepreneurs, saying, here's the book, here's everything that you need to know about these 15 tactics. But there's still so much more work to do. We're so far from done. It's just exciting to get this thing out there.
I have to say, you know, when we were teaching together, we saw this hole, you know, because things keep evolving and people go, oh, I get cost of customer acquisition now. And now I want more. How do we, you know, how do we reduce cost of customer acquisition? And that was the next logical next step. How do we run a Facebook campaign? Is it TikTok or what is it? And how do you do that? And to me, that was, and those sessions then led to the course, the trial of the course, the V1 of the course, V2 of the course. And now, as you said, you're in V5 or 6. And that's why, you know, a book like this comes out. And I'm really excited to see, you know, the results. We know the disciplined entrepreneurship approach. We've seen the studies now, the 10-year longitudinal study, how 69% of the people are still in business 5 years. That blows people away. We've seen 63% of them raise money. You know, that cohort of the 10-year longitudinal, they've already raised $3 billion, and that's only, you know, less than 200 participants in it. And but that didn't have what we have now, and the bar keeps going up, and I'm really excited to see what happens here. And if we can do that, you know, if I can be so bold here, if we can do that, I feel like we're changing the course of entrepreneurship education. And that is what the world needs. We need more entrepreneurs. We need better entrepreneurs. And oh, by the way, we need entrepreneurs that form a community that share with each other. And to do that, we have to have a common language. And I don't really care if that's, you know, my language, your language, anybody. That's the whole open source point of it. But we do have to agree. You couldn't have medicine and go in and say, all right, this doctor calls this organ a heart, but this person calls this an Oppenheimer, you know, pumper. You know, you have to have some agreement. And I feel that's where the field of entrepreneurship really needs to go. And hopefully we're going to push it in that direction. Nubar Afeyan, who is, you know, an incredibly successful entrepreneur, used to teach with here at MIT and is now going to actually be the speaker at MIT's graduation. He was the founder of Moderna and many other companies. He always said, you know, we need a profession of entrepreneurship. People don't take this seriously enough. And when we first started 10 years ago, before you even hear Paul, people didn't believe we could teach entrepreneurship. Now we can teach it. And so I think we're really headed in the right direction. I'm very, very excited for the combination of these books here. I think Startup Tactics takes this to a whole nother level, kind of exponential. Now, you mentioned there are 15 tactics. You have that, like, in the, there are 24 steps, but there are 6 themes. Can you talk a little bit about the themes or the lanes that you have that those 15 tactics fall in?
Yeah, and it's interesting. You know, I gave a talk on the book 2 weeks ago. And at the end, I said, you know, what shocks you? What are you surprised by when you look at these 15 tactics and the 4 stages of them? What stands out to you? And, you know, we talk about entrepreneurial math. One of the things that I've started talking a little bit more about is this idea of another addition to entrepreneurial math, PEMDAS. You know PEMDAS?
No, I don't know PEMDAS.
The order of operations in math, right? You start with the parentheses, you go to the exponents.
Oh,
There's an order of operations you have to use to solve a math problem.
Yeah.
And I believe the same thing's true in entrepreneurship. There's an order of operations, and that's why these 15 tactics are organized the way they are. That's why these 4 stages come in, you know, that order. And it starts with setting foundations, right? We talk about it. You can't build a castle on a foundation of sand. The foundations are super important. And the number one thing that we've seen through our classes, that I see working with entrepreneurs, whether they're students at MIT here or elsewhere, is, you know, we all think we're really good at setting goals until the rubber meets the road. And then we write our goals down and we look at them and they're not all that great. So we start there. You've got to set really good goals. You've got to learn to set good goals and to socialize those and to get feedback on them and to revise them. And from the foundations, we go into market testing. You know, market testing is something that we've worked into our class together. Market testing, that introduction to market testing, and our classic Tesla case example. Now, that looks at things like doing primary market research. It looks at things like building visual assets to communicate what is really difficult to communicate, something new to the world, our new venture, something that's a little crazy. How do we communicate that to somebody who maybe isn't willing to give us the time in a matter of 10 or 15 seconds? And then we look at how do we do early marketing, how do we do early sales. These functional areas that some people are experts in, and that you could go take a class on marketing, but a class in marketing is going to teach you how to do marketing at a very large organization.
Yeah.
To do marketing when you've got a day zero startup and you've got pretty much nothing is very different. Yeah. So that's what we look at. And once we've got a line of customers waiting down the street from our market testing to use the product we haven't even built yet, we move into product development, looking at things like product design, looking at things like user testing and some very simple engineering that we need on day zero. Once we've got those customers waiting in a line down the street, once we go and we actually have that product developed for them, or the MVBP, we go into resource acquisition. Resource acquisition looks at, you know, how do we build that pitch deck? How do we build the financial model? How do we go and how do we fundraise? And then once we have that money raised, how do we hire people at day zero? When we don't have a recruiter to go and to source those people for us, we've got to do it ourselves. The idea here is entrepreneurs have to wear so many different hats, and this is the order of operations, that entrepreneurial math that's going to help them to get the resources they need to keep building.
I love the PEMDAS thing. That's very MIT.
Very MIT.
I'm losing my credentials here by not knowing PEMDAS. I know exactly what you're talking about once you describe it, but I didn't know it was called PEMDAS. When I rewrote Disciplined Entrepreneurship, the first rewrite I had was 700 pages, and I thought I had got it consolidated. And you can even, you know, you can put that into ChatGPT, which I did, and it still was too much. And so then you have to think about, should this book really be 700 pages? That violates, to me, one of the criteria of it being accessible.
Accessible, yeah.
People say, well, take some of the illustrations out. No way, I'm not taking the illustrations out. Marius's illustrations are a key part of making it accessible. And what's the point I'm getting at here? The point I'm getting at here is this sets the framework, but I have a chapter on how to do primary market research, which kind of goes into tactics, but then you take it to a whole nother level of tactics, which is really what entrepreneurs want. They want to know, okay, I got that. How do I put it in? And that's what's really going to make the difference and take, you know, the books together is not 1 + 1 = 2. It's 1 + 1 = 4 or 5, I believe.
More entrepreneurial math.
Yeah, there you go. I think the other thing is, kind of in the book, I talk about beyond the 24 steps. You know, a business is not just, you know, product market fit. It's not even just, as we talk about today, channel market fit or go-to-market fit. You've got to deal with the issues of resource allocation of human resources, but also finance and other parts of it. And, you know, there's more to come. There'll be more books to come in the series as we think about it. And Wiley's very excited about that. And we already have Max and Adam and Emmanuel and Jim working on the finance one as well as others. But I think this is just such a great contribution to the field of entrepreneurship in that they are, you know, we're not the same person. We have different experiences, but they are integrated, and that's what we need.
I think one of the things that I'm really happy about is that they are so deeply integrated. Because, you know, again, to your point, right, if you've got people using different language, how they apply the tactics is going to be different. But if they're all starting from the same baseline, they're going to be much better prepared to go and take these actions and do so in the same direction together.
Yeah. Which goes back to one of our points when we were this book was coming along, like, you know, I'm not the one person here. This has got to be a group effort. And when we went about it and you know, they said, well, are you writing the Startup Tactics? No, I'm not. This is Paul Cheek's book. And then we're going to have one about climate and energy, and that'll be Ben Soltoff and Todd Hines' book and Frankie O'Sullivan. But then, you know, that's what we need. We need not grabbing onto stuff and holding it, but open sourcing it and getting more and more people involved.
Well, and part of the reason we do it too is to get it out to the world and to hear from other people, what's the feedback, right? How is it working? How's it not working? Where are the places where we might tweak it so that we can go and publish follow-on materials online that share those experiences? And one of the things that, you know, I've been doing is emailing with a lot of educators around the world who either have early copies of Startup Tactics or who are excited to receive their copies of Startup Tactics, who've downloaded all the educator materials. Some people have already started putting it out into the world with their students, with entrepreneurs they're advising, with whoever it is that they're working with, and they're starting to send feedback. And that's the most exciting part, because that's how we continue to make it better. It's not about just what do we do here and what works here, it's what works around the world. And you mentioned QUT earlier. You know, they were some of the first folks to run a concurrent tactics class, you know, along with other folks around the world. We've got Dalhousie, Etom, folks who've, you know, really taken this in and started to think about how do they apply it? How do they tweak it and make sure that it works in their context? So Bill, tell me, you know, we're 10 years since the initial release. This is the new expanded and updated edition of Discipline Entrepreneurship. What's different?
10 years of knowledge, experience gained, and talking to other people. That's the first thing. And then I think there's just been fundamental changes in entrepreneurship in 10 years. You know, the first is product market fit used to be the game. Today, product market fit is table stakes. You have to do it, but you have to do so much more than that. The game has moved. It's so easy to get products. You know, 10 years ago, it might take you $1 million or plus to get an e-commerce company. And it might take you six months or more. Today, you can do that in literally 2 hours or less. So you could do it in 1 hour. So I think that's the first thing. It's like, you know, all this stuff is refined. I'm sorry, that's the second thing. The first stuff, everything is refined with much more experience. It's kind of like the more you do it, the more you learn and refine it. The second thing is there's been a huge change in kind of the field of entrepreneurship underlying by technology and processes and knowledge and availability of capital and technologies. So that means that it's gone from how do you get product market fit to get a product out there to how do we get channel market fit or go to market. And so this book really starts to spend more on the back end, like how do you get cost of customer acquisition down? How do you align that with your LTV? What do you think about sales? But sales now is revenue generation. So I've changed step 18 from, you know, your sales channels to designing a revenue engine that's scalable, that's efficient, that is also anti-fragile so that when change happens, you can do it. And that means the first person you hire really isn't necessarily a salesperson once you've got product market fit. It could be, it should be a chief revenue officer who's talking about things like product-led growth. You know, should we do indirect sales? Should we do direct sales? Should we do channel marketing? How do we do that? And that's been probably the thing. And I, you know, if I just to summarize it, the fourth big thing is AI. AI has changed things so dramatically and how we're using that. And shout out to Ethan Mollick at Wharton, the work that he's been doing. If you don't know it, you should take a look at it. It's just the process of entrepreneurship has changed, the kind of criteria. But the underlying use of AI is going to take the process that used to take us a semester. We're seeing this with Orbit tool that you've been overseeing the development of with the, you know, the AI engine, and take something that might take 2 months and you can do it literally in a day now. You still have to do primary market research. You still need to understand the fundamentals of it. But a lot of that grunt work is now taken away. So to me, that's why we needed a new edition. And I don't take it lightly that, unfortunately, this book is 100 pages longer than the last one.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, right? You started at 700, right? And you did, you got it down. But I would also ask you, you know, a lot's changed, of course.
Yeah.
If you were to add one more step, what would it be? Not that you can with the number of pages you're at. I think if we called Wiley and told them that you're going to add another step, another chapter, the book might not come. But what would you add if there were something?
To me, at this point, I did kind of sneak two in there. There's primary market research, which is 1A, and then there's 13A, which is windows of opportunity. And those are really kind of, those were missed, and I plug them in there, and I tuck them underneath those. But I think going from idea to product market fit is not where the most action should be now. I feel like this book is, the more action should be doing tactics. It should be doing financial literacy for people. Those are the things, and those are the books that will follow on from this. So I don't see refining this book at this point. And I think other people need to write books. I think they need to follow your example. I've written my books. It's time for other people to take the mantle and go forward.
Well, and I know you have a financial literacy for entrepreneurs ebook.
Yeah, that's available, as we said, for people who order, you know, who order this week. That's available, and we'll make it available, honestly, otherwise. But that's we just put together because, you know, at MIT, we saw so many people. I just had this the other day. This person was brilliant. He's a professor at a German university, Technical University of Munich. And he's like, oh, finance is complicated. I was grabbing my head going, finance? Are you kidding me? Finance is math for dummies. What you do, that's complicated. You could learn finance anytime. And I think this whole demystifying of the entrepreneurial process is what we're doing. How about you? What do you think is next for you?
What's next after the book?
Yeah. Just to be clear, Paul is much younger than I am. So he has lots more runway. What's next for you?
What's next for me? That's a good question. I don't know. What I do know is that my goal is to get the book in the hands of as many entrepreneurs as possible. How do I do that? Yeah. How do I make that happen? It's working with, you know, the folks who are training entrepreneurs, right? Training them in all these different functional areas. So I'm going to go speak to a bunch of schools, to a bunch of entrepreneurs all around the world, and make sure that they know there is a systematic, rigorous approach to taking their business plan, putting it out into the world, taking the strategies that they've developed to go and to create a new business and do just that, right? Use these tactics. So I'm excited for the book tour. I'm going to go and I'm going to speak to these entrepreneurs, and I'm going to show them that, look, like, the future of entrepreneurship is different than it is today or than it has been.
Yeah.
It's not just about first-time entrepreneurs right now. Why? Right. Because those folks who are already entrepreneurs or who've already started businesses or been, you know, corporate entrepreneurs or whatever you want to call them, it's going to be different the next time they go and start a new venture, whether that's within a larger organization or whether that's, you know, a new business from the ground up. How's it going to be different? It's going to be different in so many ways. Why? Because there's going to be a great reprioritization from, let's sit down and let's strategize and let's go figure all this out. And like you said, we could spend, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks or months going and strategizing and getting our plan in order. or we could leverage new technologies to go do that in a day, in 2 days, in 3 days, however long it takes, their time and attention is going to shift. The next business they go build, it's not going to be about, you know, going and figuring out, all right, what's our strategy and all that. It's going to be, let's have technology do that, and then let's go do it. Let's go put this thing out into the world. I think there's going to be a shift to more primary market research. Primary market research, it's in your expanded and updated book. It's in my book. It's so fundamental. That's going to take a lot more priority moving forward.
Yeah.
I think, you know, they're going to need to be thinking more about the leadership to, you know, get a team together and to go and you know, execute these tactics and to go build the business. And they're going to need to know these skills, the skills from day zero to go do things as quickly as possible with the least amount of resources. Because, you know, I don't think we're going to see quite as many businesses moving forward going out and raising these monstrous rounds of funding, because I don't think they're going to need it. I think we're going to see businesses built much leaner moving forward. And so that's what I'm excited about. And I can't wait to share that with entrepreneurs everywhere and sneak peek of what it actually looks like. That's one of the most fascinating things I've seen, which is, you know, what we're developing on the Orbit platform, the generative AI functionalities, integrating, you know, the discipline, entrepreneurship and startup tactics, systematic approaches.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. 2 points. First of all, entrepreneurs, non-traditional entrepreneurs, as you say, like, you know, while I'm, you know, a proven systematic way to start new ventures, it says startup, you know, Wiley did want us to say startup in it.
I wanted to say startup. I want to get it in the hands of more people thinking in the startup mindset. But the first sentence of the book is about how entrepreneurship is about more than just startups and startup founders.
That's right. And I think that, you know, and this is something to say, is that you don't have to be in a startup to be an entrepreneur.
Yep.
That is a pure form of it. It's we learn a lot from that. That's kind of our best laboratory. But we need entrepreneurs in government. We need them in academic institutions. We need them in large organizations. We need them in faith-based organizations. We need them everywhere. And the good news is that we've already seen, again, we're evidence-based. We don't put stuff out there that's not rigorous. We've seen in multiple studies by our friends at Catalyst in Northern Ireland and also in Scotland, this methodology dramatically improves the success of existing entrepreneurs. And I know we use it every day in our intrapreneurial existence here at MIT, and it works. But those showed that in existing companies, entrepreneurs could double or quadruple their revenue on average within 12 months after going through a rigorous boot camp. That's amazing. The second thing you said that I think is really important, and I think I love the kind of got back and forth with Mark Randolph, who wrote a book that that will never work. He's the co-founder and first CEO of Netflix. And Netflix has shown, you know, his mantra is nobody knows anything.
Yep.
You can sit around and talk about stuff all day and you can analyze it, but nobody knows anything until you test it. And that's essentially what tactics is about. So it's all about, you know, yeah, you can do your secondary market research using AI tools very quickly now, but you got to do that primary market research. You got to come up with hypothesis. You got to test it through tactics. I think that this is really the essence of what we're doing. I think you're also selling it short. You're running a workshop here to educate the educators on April 23rd and 24th, which is, you know, I think that's the future, as to how do we, you know, it's not the greatest business model, but how do we come up with knowledge and give it away and have other people utilize it? But that's our mission here at MIT, is to create a body of knowledge and disseminate it to help solve the world's greatest problems. So I think that is the future. I think it's really, really important. And we are not going to rest. And let me just say to our listeners out there, this is not just MIT. MIT does not have a monopoly on good thoughts about entrepreneurship. We would enthusiastically reapply other people's ideas with pride, as long as they help entrepreneurs. Our goal is to create more entrepreneurs, better entrepreneurs, and connected entrepreneurs. And if someone's not doing that, they're on the side of good, and we're all in it. They can come from anywhere.
They are our friends. And yes. One of the things you said earlier, it's like, you know, there's a lot of different pieces in these books that have come together from other people's lived experience, from what other people teach. And one of the things that I think is really important is that these systematic approaches, they are curated. I was talking to somebody a week or two ago about the book and about the book coming out. And, you know, we were talking just about what's in the book. And the response I heard was, oh, there's just so much stuff out on the internet. Anybody can publish anything. And it's not curated. It's not curated in that process. And I think that's so important, you know, to credit everybody else who's helped to contribute.
Absolutely. But it's still part of curation. Is evidence-based.
Yeah.
It's does it work? And there's so much stuff that I get so frustrated when people tell stories and I'm like, that's not entrepreneurship education. That's storytelling.
Yeah.
We need evidence-based, you know, education that we show works and there's something behind it. Well, I think we've bloviated here long enough, Chris. I think we should bring things to a conclusion. Paul, any final words?
I'm so excited for the next generation of innovation-driven entrepreneurs to take this stuff and to run with it.
I'm so excited for you to take this kind of approach and start to see it propagate. Because we used to, in our class, do this movie called 12 Angry Men. And we'd always, and part of it was an old movie with Henry Fonda. And it says, you know, what's the most important person that they convinced that that was a good idea? And it's the first person, because then you've just doubled it. And now all of a sudden you have momentum. And so I'm really excited about this. And there'll be more to come. And all of you who are listening to this, if you have good ideas about how to improve entrepreneurship, know that, you know, the Martin Trust Center for MIT Entrepreneurship is a platform to help you do that. We're not here to claim your ideas. We're not here to change them. But if they are rigorous, if they're evidence-based, if you know they're open-sourced and they're integrated to the other things, we would be very glad to help you get them out as well. With that, I think we trust the process. Chris, can we give us one more trust the process?
Yeah. This was another episode of Trust the Process.
Boom!
Wow!
Well, that's it for another episode of Trust the Process. This show is edited and produced by me, Chris Burns. The show's executive producer is Greg Weimer. We record all of our episodes right here at the Trust Center for MIT Entrepreneurship. See you next time.